going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Mark Ross is an NFL Network analyst, and you have live coverage, obviously, of rounds 2 and 3 will air tonight on the NFL Network at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And Mark Ross is here with us right now to recap the craziness of the first round and also take an early look ahead to rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Mark, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
Great. My pleasure.
Well, let me start you off with Shedeur Sanders. So we got a sense yesterday that he was falling. I never thought he was really going to fall out of the first round altogether. What was your reaction last night when you saw Shedeur Sanders not go in the first 32 picks?
Yeah, I thought Pittsburgh was the landing spot. You know, I thought that I didn't think he was going to go up at the top, but I thought for sure Pittsburgh was it, and especially in light of when he had his visit there and he talked about Tomlin reminding him of his dad and the connection, and of course – we're not even going to talk about the dire need for a quarterback that Pittsburgh has. So that was definitely a surprise when they passed on him, especially to take another defensive lineman. But, you know, it looks like the top here will be the place for him. If Cleveland doesn't take him or the Raiders, this might be an interesting night.
Yeah, your NFL Network colleague, Ian Rappaport, I was just watching a video right before we came back from break. He said the Raiders potentially in the second round or the Steelers in the third round. I saw Adam Schefter was on ESPN, and he was basically making it seem as if it's not going to be the Saints and it's not going to be the Cleveland Browns with their second round selections. If you were running the Browns front office, right, you made the move, you got Mason Graham, you got a future first round pick next year, you also got an additional second round pick, and you're picking at 33 and 36. If you're Cleveland, would you take that call on Shedeur Sanders now, or would you just maybe say, okay, we'll beef up the rest of the roster and go a quarterback a year from now with two first round selections?
Well, these questions about the quarterback are always interesting, and it's always depending on your job security as a head coach and a general manager. When you got job security, you can say, sure, let's just keep building the roster and push it to next year. But when you don't, and we see what the Giants did, it's like, we better go get somebody right now. And that's the difference. So if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are sitting there now and the Haslam say, yeah, just do what you got to do, build a roster, you'll be here for 2-3 years, do what you need to do, then you don't think Shedeur Sanders is your guy, push it forward another year or however long you need to do it. But if you're sitting there saying, well, this is a way for us to kind of buy some time and get some assurances from ownership that we're doing the right thing, taking Shedeur and he's the guy and give us time to work with him, then those sort of desperation moves happen.
To be clear, I'm a fan of Shedeur. I thought Shedeur should have been the second quarterback off the board in this draft. Just out of curiosity, Mark Ross, what's your view of Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback?
I always thought he was around a second round pick talent anyway. So this him getting drafted wherever he gets maybe drafted today is really in the proper spot for where I saw his talent when I evaluated him. And you know, I think a lot of people were up in arms about, especially in New York, where they thought it was going to be Shedeur, not Jackson Dart. But I knew all along it was going to be Jackson Dart. And if you paid attention to anything, you just know the people in the building that they were not going to take Shedeur Sanders. So, but that being said, I thought he had built up enough goodwill on film and put enough good film out there that teams were going to take him. But again, that comes with a lot of concerns around him, whether they're justified or not. Maybe there are some concerns that the general public doesn't know about. So that's why I think all of this is coming together with Shedeur, where he is right now.
You're not wrong. A lot of people yesterday said Brian Daboll preferred Jackson Dart, and that was the quarterback. Once they took Abdul Carter at three, they would trade up to go get. Do you think that was the right decision? Because personally, I think Shedeur Sanders is a better quarterback than Jackson Dart, so I would have rather had the Giants take Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, well, whether it doesn't matter whether I think it's right or wrong, Brian Daboll thought it, and this is their legacy right now with Jackson Dart, too. And the interesting thing with making that move is, I mean, the Giants go 3-3 and what's my math here? 3-15 next year, is that right? The
3-14, I think.
3-14. Are they even going to be around to pick the quarterback? So here it is, you entrust your head coach to go, this is your guy, let's go get him. And then you have a terrible year and you get rid of that said coach, and now you're just setting your franchise back even more. And now you're pushing it over once again with the Giants with, well, now you got a whole new staff in here, maybe not even like Jackson Dart. So, yeah, whatever the vision there with New York and with pushing it all in with Daboll, I guess now you have to give them time. But it's a very complicated issue there, what's going on.
Yeah, how do you think they'll approach that this year? I know Dabes last night said, you know, Russell Wilson and the brass, they said that's their guy, that's their starter. So you have Russ, you got Jameis Winston there. I got to think eventually at some point, because I don't expect the Giants to be that good this year, that they're going to have to play Jackson Dart. And if he doesn't play, I'm not saying great, but if he's not average to start, then yeah, you're probably right. Shannon Daboll then would be out of a job at the end of the year.
Yeah, and he gets set back again, and he has to play this year. You know, Russell Wilson, he's done it. We've seen it. We've seen the story with Russell. We've seen the story with Jameis. You know where you're going with those two. So you moved up to take him for a reason, however many games you need, 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever it is to get Jackson Dart in there, you must do that. And you know, some other teams that have taken, you know, just look at last year's crop of quarterbacks. Those guys all jumped in right away and played, you know, and they, for the most part, they, except for Penix, you know, but then once he got in, they all looked really well. They all look good, and they all look like, okay, these guys made the right decision. So I think with the Giants and Jackson Dart, you got to get them out there to see what you have.
What do you think Jackson Dart can be as a pro quarterback?
You're suspect. Let's just start with his own division. I mean, he's fourth, you know, right there in his own division. I mean, and okay, we're not even getting to the rest of the landscape of the NFC. But when I evaluated him, you know, there's some good things to like, and you know, the timing throws, and he is a good athlete. He can run, but there was just a lot missing for me when I watched him. It was just like the feel for the game, the streakiness. In the pocket, not having a great feel and poise there, and pressure got in his face. I thought he fell apart a lot. So there are those sort of tangible traits you could see in him. But overall, I just had a lot of questions and a lot of issues with his overall talent. And I don't see him being hey, go compete against the top-notch quarterbacks in the league to go win you playoff games.
Mark Ross here with us from the NFL Network. Getting back to the start of the draft, we had Cam Ward go one, and I think Cam Ward, I wouldn't say that he could be a top five quarterback in the league, but I think that he's a very good quarterback, and Tennessee needed a face of the franchise, so I love the pick there. Then at two, most of us were expecting Cleveland to go take Travis Hunter, and the Jaguars trade up, and there was some steam brewing there in the like 2 hours before the start of the draft. What did you make of that deal of the Browns going back to five, picking up future draft capital, and the Jaguars moving up to go get Travis Hunter at two?
Yeah, I think it was a brilliant move by the Browns, and from where they are as a franchise to, you know, Travis Hunter wasn't going to solve many of their problems that they have. And for Jacksonville, you know, just two first-round picks for okay, let's just look at Travis Hunter. I know we keep talking about him as this unicorn and everything, these words have been thrown around, but you know, I think it was Calvin Johnson the last time a receiver's been taken in the top two, and you know, a corner being taken that high, you know, it really hasn't happened. So I just have a hard time seeing him playing full time on both sides of the ball. And if he does split time, you know, how much impact is he really making? So even though I think he is a fantastic athlete and all the accolades he's gotten, it was just way too much to give up to go get him for Jacksonville, where they are as a franchise. I know much has been made about James Gladstone coming over from the Rams and F those picks and all that. But look, everything's different. Every organization is different. That was a whole different set of circumstances. What went on with the Rams? They had Matthew Stafford there to hold that all together, and you can afford to do that. If you're Jacksonville and the struggling Trevor Lawrence, if this is your way to say we're going to save him, okay. But to give up all they gave, is, I think it was just way too much.
Mark Ross here with us from the NFL Network. Other things I was surprised about, we talked about Shador. Tyler Warren falling to 14, and the Bears, they ended up taking Colston Loveland at 10. I also thought you could argue maybe the Jets or Panthers could also take Tyler Warren. Why do you ultimately think Tyler Warren fell all the way 14th to the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, I think I thought the Bears were always the landing spot for Tyler Warren. But, you know, it always been a lot of back and forth between the Warren versus Loveland, and they were completely different players, you know, whereas Warren, the versatile guy, big, strong, can do you know, more work underneath in the middle, and Loveland was more the athletic stretch. So it was really about Ben Johnson. That tells you the vision that Ben Johnson has of what he likes in a tight end, because he chose to go with the, you know, that vertical speed guy. They have Cole Kmet on the team already. So maybe it was more of, well, let's get more of a basketball roster up on here instead of getting another guy that's similar to Kmet. But, you know, for the Colts, I think that was an outstanding pick. It always seemed as if I actually had them flipped in my mock draft where I had Warren going to the Bears.
I think most of us did. I had the same thing. I had Warren going to the Bears, and then at 14, Loveland going to the Colts.
Yep. So, but I joked last night that, you know, Tyler Warren got on the roster. Now he's the best quarterback on the Colts roster.
You're not wrong. Like Daniel Jones, Anthony Richards. You know what? Maybe that's a surprise destination for Shador at some point.
For sure. It may be. So it'll be a fun night.
Another thing. So you look at Cam Ward, right? One time a zero-star recruit, entered his name in the draft last year, took it out, went to Miami, ended up paying off as the number one overall pick. Will Johnson had to come back last year. This time last year, we're sitting here, he probably would have been a top five pick in the draft when we were prognosticating him. Now, because of a knee injury and some other injuries as well, he falls out of the first round. How do you make those evaluations when you know the player's really good, but there is an injury history, especially when you're right towards the lead up of the draft?
Well, that's all about your medical staff, and you have tons of meetings with your doctors and trainers about every player. And some players are easy. They check out as an A, and, you know, we used to grade players, and most teams do A, B, C, D, F, just like you do in school. And, all right, you got an A guy, move on. You got a C, all right, let's talk about it a little bit. Once you're getting to that C minus D range, F, all right, you're talking about those people nonstop. And Will Johnson fell into that category of whatever those injuries are. You know, how soon will he be healing from them? Is he injury prone? And then you have to go back to the Michigan trainers and what they say about him. And you're really piecing that all together with your medical staff. It's your scouts aren't even in those meetings. You're talking about it with your head coach, GM, you know, your really executive team. And, you know, that's a lot of what the outside doesn't know. The fans don't know. Media doesn't know what exactly is said in these meetings with the medical staff. And so it's all about what team, whoever takes Will Johnson, you'll know their medical staff feels okay with those said injuries. You know, the Jahad Campbell pick last night with Philly, where his shoulder, and Howie Roseman did a great job saying, yo, this was a long term. He was kind of putting that together. It's like, this guy might not be out there week one, but we're getting a top 10 player because our doctors feel long term he's going to be okay. Whereas other teams probably looked at Jahad Campbell and said, we can't do this right now. We're not in a position to wait on a guy for half a season to play him. So it's so, so vital what takes place at the combine. Well, during the year with the scouts getting medical information at the combine and post combine when you're bringing the players into your facility to get them checked out.
What were some other picks last night that really stood out to you? I thought the Ravens did it again. You know, Kyle Hamilton a few years ago, now they get Malachi Starks. Were there a few other picks that you were like, wow, I really love that pick that maybe you didn't see coming?
I really love the back half. After 24 on, for the most part, those were all the picks. I was like, yep, that's a great pick. That's a great pick. That's a great pick. I had Starks going to the Ravens in my mock draft too, which was like, and I said, like, they took Kyle Hamilton. They're going to take Kyle Hamilton part two. Put those two guys together, they might have the best safety duo in the league. And, you know, we just mentioned Jahad Campbell, even a Josh Simmons pick, another medical question mark there for him and his process where the Chiefs get him at 32nd, and he was my second tackle after Will Campbell. Top 10 talent physically. I love the Maxwell Harrison pick for Buffalo down there at the bottom too. Even Josh Connerly, who I had over Kelvin Banks, who went much higher. So, at the back end there was some really good picks. Even Donovan Jackson going to Minnesota, I loved him. It was, that for the most part, I thought in the middle there was a lot of questionable guys there for a stretch with the Walter Nolans of the world and Shamar Stewarts and Gray Zabel, even though I think he's a good player, like going that high. So it was definitely, well, and then the Steelers right after that. So, I mean, every pick, you go into the draft, you thought there wasn't going to be much drama. Then once the draft hits, it's drama all the time. Last night was like every pick was some drama.
How about today? So we talk about Will Johnson. We talked about Shedeur Sanders. I know Mike Green from Marshall still on the board. You got the running backs from Ohio State. A few names that maybe stand out to you that you're like, okay, that's a steal falling in the second round.
Well, Mason Taylor, loved Mason Taylor, the tight end out of LSU, who I thought could have been a first round pick. Luther Burden, as his name has not been called yet. He's in there. I think there'll be a run on running backs in the second round with the Ohio State duo there. We mentioned Will Johnson already. Someone's going to take a chance, and we'll see what the quarterbacks if they start going with. Even Milroe getting a lot of buzz, even though I'm not a Milroe fan. There seems he's gained a lot of steam. I think players like Mike Green, it was with a lot of character issues, first round talent, but the character issues is pushing him down to where he is. So still a lot of really, really good players that are on the board now.
Last thing I'll ask you, it's kind of a three-part question. I got a Raiders fan, I got a Jet fan, and I'm a Patriot fan. Armin Membu to the Jets, Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders, Will Campbell to the Patriots. What do you make of those three selections all pretty early in the first seven picks?
I think there was no surer pick outside of Cam Ward than Will Campbell going to the Patriots. And then, Jeanty was rumored to go to the Raiders all along too. And, that's a way for, I guess them to get his Marshawn Lynch part two, Coach Carroll to get Marshawn and for Geno to be Russell. And then the third team was who? What was the third
The
team? I'm sorry.
Jets going Armin
The
Membo
Jets,
over
Membo.
Ward.
I think that was even too. That was kind of chalk too, of many believe that they would go try to bolster that offensive line, get that run game going with Justin Fields. So I think none of those were really much of a surprise there, but good picks.
He's Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst. You remember that the NFL Network's coverage of the NFL draft continues tonight, rounds 2 and 3, and it airs live at 7 p.m. Eastern on the NFL Network. Mark, good deal. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure.
All righty, we'll take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. We'll take some calls after this, 888-710-4476. Also, I got a little three words or less on each team and their selection in the top 10. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.